I just love as well what's been said here, what's happening. There seems to be a real theme that has been going on in churches at the moment around identity. And that is what I really want to speak to this morning, that identity of who we are in God. Because, you know, in order for us to know who we are, we must first know whose we are. And so I just want to take some time to speak into that. And I know that we are currently living in a society, in a time where our identity is something that has so been twisted and mixed up. And people, there's like this confusion. You see it going through high schools at the moment, and people are getting so confused about who they are. And there's this, we're in this time where things that God has already given a definition to, people are now trying to redefine. And the enemy is trying to come in on that and shift who we are and how we see ourselves. And so I just want to share a wee story with you really quickly about me when I was about 9 years old. I had started this new rural school, and I have two brothers, so I'm in the middle of two brothers. But there was part of me, I was still like, I'm very much a girl, you know. Like, I was a wee bit tomboyish with brothers, but I was still a girl. And there was this one day where I went to the bus stop, and there was this one other boy who got on the bus with us as well. And I'd only been at the school for about a week, but this particular day I actually wore my hair up, and it was tight and it was up. And I remember getting out of the car, and the very first thing that boy said to me is, he goes, "What have you done with your hair? You look like such a boy." And then he would start calling me Dan, and it was like this thing of, and you know, he's this little kid too, like he didn't mean any harm, right? But I let those words get into me, and it was like, man, and I just remember like pulling out my hair, and I was like, oh, I don't want to look like a boy. But do you know what the problem was? It wasn't even in the words that he necessarily spoke, but as a little kid, I didn't have my full understanding, my full identity rooted in who I was in God, and I let those words stay there. And even right up until I was an adult, unfortunately, I had let the enemy begin to twist what that little boy had said about me, and I let it become my truth. It no longer was just the fact that I looked like a boy with my hair tied up. My thoughts were now that I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't girly enough. I would never be beautiful. Who would want to hang out with me because I looked like a boy? Like, I started to let these thoughts begin to shape me right up into my adulthood life. And now I know that, I just want to clarify that it wasn't that the enemy was speaking through him, right? It wasn't in his words speaking through him, but it was that I let that sit there and I let the enemy begin to play on that, and I let those thoughts, those lies come in and take a hold, and it robbed me of many years of how I saw myself. So I just want to begin to say to you, what is the loudest voice that you are letting be your truth? Today, as I'm talking about identity, I really want you to think about that. Who are you letting be your voice of truth? Who are you letting shape your identity? You see, I know that my God is a loving, graceful, merciful God. And we know that Satan cannot stop the mercy and love of God. I've got a verse there in Romans 3, 23, verse 24. And it says, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." You see, we have all fallen short, but if we believe in what God did for us, sending his son and are born again, and you have the Spirit of God in you, then God sees you as if you have never sinned. He sees you as whole. He sees you as worthy. We are all worthy of his judgment, yet God, in his pleasure, gives us the kingdom. How do you stop a kind of love like that? How do you stop a merciful and a graceful God like that? The only way it can be stopped is that if we fail to receive it, if we don't believe that it's true, if we fail to take on the identity of what God's done through his son, and instead we take on the identity of what we've done and where we've been, that is the only way that the enemy can stop God's love. Because God will never stop loving you. You see, the enemy tries to rob us of our true identity. He tries to shift our focus away from what God says about who you are and who you are called to be. He tries to pull us away by reminding us of our downfalls, of our mistakes, of words spoken over us in the past. He says to us, I have seen what you did, but Jesus comes and says, I see who you are. Man, I love that. I love that. Say it again. The enemy says, I see what you did, but Jesus says, I see who you are. He looks past all of that stuff. All of that stuff doesn't matter. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the speaker said, the thing that the devil can't defeat about God is that God is love. And even before we knew this to be true and knew God, we didn't deserve anything from him, yet he gave us his son and gave us his kingdom. Isn't that powerful? Even before you knew it was true, God had already gone, here's my son and here's my kingdom for you. We just have to receive it. We just have to know that that is our truth, that is our identity, and begin to step into that. You see, the enemy can't beat a God like that. There is nothing he can do to stop him except get us to not believe it's true and to not receive it. You being loved by God and knowing your true identity in him will not only transform your life, but it will transform the lives of those around you. Now, I feel like this is a really key part here that we so often hear in churches, people saying, I'm going to get this right. God loves you. We say it to people all the time, right? God loves you. God loves you. And that's so true. Yet, it's another thing for us to actually allow God to love us and to be loved by God. It can be so easy for us to say God loves you, but why is it sometimes so hard for us to allow God to love us and to receive that? And what do I mean when I say for you to be loved by God? It means that you receive everything. Everything he did for you, everything he paid for, and you take on your true identity in not yourself, but in him. Not in what your friends say, not in what your family says, not in what you even speak over yourself and tell yourself. Who knows that we can be our harshest critics? We can often speak against how God sees us. It's not about what we have done in the past or the thoughts that you may have had, but it's about who he says you are. We are no longer sinners, but we are saints saved by grace. Yeah, and I really want to speak to that because I feel like there's something in there, and I know that people are trying to capture hold of this, but we often hear that as well in churches. You hear all the time, you're just a sinner saved by grace. You're a sinner saved by grace. And you get kept in this place of being told that you're a sinner. So you constantly need to repent. You constantly are going, man, I've done it again. I'm a sinner. It makes sense though, because it lines up with who I am. It lines up with the fact that I'm a sinner. And we're kept in this headspace, this thought space, but God's saying, no, once you receive what I did for you with my son, you are no longer a sinner, but you step into being a son and a daughter of me. You are now a saint. And that is how I call you to walk out. We might still make a mistake. We might still sin at times, but that is not who we are. That is not our identity. It no longer defines us because we are defined by who he says we are. You are not a sinner. I really just feel to get that into some hearts today because I think there's some people who may have been believing that here. You are not a sinner. You are a saint. The moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you understand what it is that he did for you, that you step into being a son and a daughter of God, you are a saint. You know, it doesn't matter what other people have spoken over you or even what you have spoken over yourself. God is the one who has the right and authority to tell you who you are and what your identity is. Nobody else has that authority. And I want you to know, and this was something that I had to learn myself, that what other people may have spoken over us, what we have even spoken over ourselves, and I did that for many years. I spoke over myself on how I saw myself because of what was said, I want you to know that those things, those past hurts, those things you may have done, things you may even be walking through right now, things that people have tried to claim or say over you, they are not the ones who get to define your identity. And some of you, you may be in circumstances that have made things difficult for you. I don't want to take away from that. You may be sitting there going, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know my past. You don't know who I am. This stuff has defined me. But I really feel that God is wanting to shift that this morning and speak to that, because he's saying, even though those things may have happened to you, even though they may have been spoken over you, I want you to know that they aren't powerful enough to define you. I love the saying that says, your history may have marked you, but it is not authorized to label you. God is the only one who is authorized to label who you are, who can tell you what your true identity is. You want me to say that one again? Your history. I'm used to this with these guys. Your history may have marked you, but it is not authorized to label you. You are not defined by your past, your behavior, your circumstances, by your failures, by your feelings. Who know our feelings try to define us all the time? By your struggles, or you're not even defined by your successes. Quite often as well, we can let our successes define who we are. The problem with that is when you allow your successes to define who you are, that means that your failures will also. I want to share a story with you because it relates back to that story of me as a young girl. When I was 23 years old and I was in my church, at least in there, they were doing a prophetic night, and there were about 40 of us there in the room. And our pastor, he was talking, and he said, we're just going to go into a time now where you're all going to go away and find your own spot. And you're going to take some time and you're going to say, God, I want you to give me a name. You know how we see in the Bible quite often God will rename people as they're stepping into something new. And it was like, so we had to go away, and it didn't have to be like a specific name, like Hannah, you know, but it was like you had to go away and see who God told you who you were. And I remember I went off and I found my spot and I sat down and I shut my eyes, and it was almost instant I had the word princess pop into my head. Now, do you know the first thought that came back with it was, oh my goodness, that's so cliche. Princess? It wasn't how I saw myself. And I struggled to receive it. I couldn't receive it. And I went, come on, God. And I was sitting there battling. I was like, surely there's another name. Like, give me something else. I can't get up in front of 40 people and say, oh, God told me I'm his princess. Like, I just felt like I couldn't do that. Like, what did you get? Because I got princess. You know, like, I couldn't do it. And I remember we're back there and I'm starting to listen to these other people and they're sharing these things they got, and there's like these powerful ones, and you're like, man, I'm like, come on, God, like, could have at least given me something like that. Like, you know, why do we do that to ourselves? Like, why do we do that? But I remember, and it came round to me, and then I heard this other name pop into my head and I went, well, I know that that's a biblical name. It's in the Bible, so I'm going to go with it because, you know, it's better than princess. And they said, what was the name God gave you? And I said, Sarah. And we had another Sarah who was in the room at the time, and she laughed and she goes, do you know what Sarah means? And I was like, I have no idea. She goes, princess. It was like, it was in that moment that God started to strip some stuff away in me. It was like now I was beginning to see how God saw me through his eyes. I was no longer this girl who wasn't beautiful enough, didn't measure up, wasn't good enough, looked like a boy. It was like I was his princess. I have a 3-year-old daughter, and she has become obsessed with Cinderella at the moment. And she loves to dress up, and she comes out, and you see her, and she like spins around. And we say to her, we're like, oh, you're such a little princess. And she just loves it. Like, she lights up. And her older brother is amazing because she constantly is dragging him in, and she turns on the music and she gets his hands and she makes him dance around the room with her. And he's awesome because he has to do it at least twice a week. But he does it because he can just see that it means so much to her, and that she's just in that moment, she shuts her eyes and she's just like, I'm a princess. God wants us to see ourselves as royalty. Because he's a king. So if he's a king and we're his sons and daughters, what does that make us? We're royalty in his sight. You know, when we start to grasp a hold of this, when we start to understand that, we walk differently. We talk differently. We carry ourselves differently. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, "For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." I want to say to you this morning, you are a saint. You are a person who has been redeemed, chosen, adopted, and qualified. You are not a mistake. You have been created in the very image of God. And you are who God created you to be. Who you are is who God created you to be. God wants our thinking and our perspective to line up with who he says we are. And if we can do that, we're going to see our whole life changed. So I want to ask you, do we believe we are who God says we are and we can do what he says we can do? Do you believe that this morning? Do you know, I love that we actually sang the national anthem this morning. I just thought that was so powerful, because can you imagine if all the men and women of God in our nation grasped a true understanding of who they really are in him? Do you know how that would begin to change our entire nation? If we weren't kept in this place of, I'm just a sinner. Yeah, I go to church, but I'm still a sinner. No, we need to step into, I'm royalty in his sight. How will that change a nation? How would we be transformed? How would we see God's people transformed and our nation transformed if we just recognize who we are in him? Cultures would begin to change. Atmospheres would begin to change. You know, in today's society especially, we are told that we need to believe that you are the way you feel. It's a scary place to be when we let our feelings dictate that. And this might be a bit controversial, but that's why we are seeing people even in our schools become furries. If you don't know what that is, it's a bit of a scary thing to look down. You've got kids and teenagers nowadays who think that they're cats and dogs, and that's who they truly identify as, because they're going by how they feel. They're letting their feelings dictate that. They're letting the way they behaved in the past or their circumstances, what other people have called them, what they may have even labeled themselves, to define who they are. And do you know what? The enemy is really happy about it. Because as long as we don't rise up and take on our true identity and who God says we are and be who God truly called us to be, we aren't a threat to his kingdom. The enemy's quite happy to keep us in this place of letting our feelings dictate who we are. I want to see you stepping fully into God, who God says you are, and believing that you can do what God says you can do. I know I want to be a person who will behave in alignment with the truth of what God says about me. Aspire Church, you are a people that God has called to walk boldly and confidently in him. Not in what other people may say about you, but what God says about you. He wants you to be a people who walk uprightly. There's just something different about you. When you walk into a room, when you walk into a supermarket, people are just going to be like, man, there's something different about them. I want what they've got. What is it? You are called to walk boldly and confidently in who you are in God. Are we believing what God says about us? I know I'm repeating myself a few times here, but I really want us to get this into our spirits this morning. What are we letting dictate our truth, our identity? A good question to ask yourself is, where are you searching for the truth? You know, and I'm going to be vulnerable here and I'm going to share with you. I had a moment a few months ago where I was sitting on my couch scrolling through Instagram. Come on, I'm sure I'm not the only one, you know. I've got four kids. Sometimes I just want to switch off. I'm sitting there, I'm scrolling through and I come across this video and this guy is talking about this controversial thing to do with churches and about biblical stuff. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, and I find myself starting to do a bit of a deep dive because, you know, and you can go down these wee rabbit holes in Instagram, like one video flows onto another. And I remember sitting there going like, oh, like, what is the truth? I just don't know if this is sitting right with me. And in that moment, man, I felt convicted. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you see, if you just look to your left and you pick up your Bible that is sitting there and you put down your phone, then you will find out the truth. Why are you searching for it over here? Man, I tell you, I put down my phone so quick. Funny part was, my husband then walked in, and he's like, oh, look at you doing it. Like, yeah, I'm doing my Bible time. We've all been there, all right? We've all been there. And do you know what? I opened up my Bible and I began to read and I got the answer straight away. Because God's saying, let me be your truth. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I've given you my word. Get it open. Read it. Ask me, where are we looking for our truth? In Mark 4:24-25, it says, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, but for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. And then Colossians 3:2-3 says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. You know, when our identity becomes hidden or rooted in the revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done for you rather than all the other noise around us, you can live life to its truest. You're not distracted by whatever messages you may see on the news or social media or even other people around you, but you have your eyes focused on him. Are we being mindful of what we are watching, what we are reading, where we are getting our truth? Are we being mindful of what we speak over ourselves? You know, we can quite often speak poorly of ourselves. We speak down about ourselves. But when we speak poorly of ourselves, that's not a kingdom mindset. God wants us to have kingdom thinking, to have a kingdom mindset. When we speak negatively about ourselves and it doesn't line up with what God says about us, we're actually speaking in a way that is taken away from him, the creator who made you. Are we thinking and speaking out of a kingdom mindset as sons and daughters of God? I love how it's put. My husband actually spoke about this a while back. He said we need to have like a vetting system in our mind, that when a thought comes through, we actually need to take it and go, does this line up with how God sees me? Does this line up with his truth? And if not, we throw it out. And we say, God, well, what do you say? What's your truth? Do our thoughts align with what he says about me? You know, we can take our thoughts and our decisions to God and say, God, is that in alignment with you? Or is this thought, is this feeling that I'm having out of insecurity, out of fear or lack? Does it line up with your truth? That's where you can take it to God and you can say, God, help me to take this thought captive and replace it with your truth. Help me to make this decision that I might have to make out of a place that aligns with what you're calling me into, aligns with your plans and purpose for me. He has called you to be set apart. You are not to do something just because that is what is always done. I know for our young people that quite often we can get caught in this trap of like, well, everybody's doing this. And it can actually be so hard to go against the grain sometimes or to be the one to stand up. But God's saying, I have set you apart. I have called you to walk differently, to talk differently. to have a mindset that lines up with me. See, we're perfect and whole, not through what we have done, but what he did. I know for some people that might be hard for you to hear this morning, but you are perfect and whole because of what he did. You know, those who have kids, you'll have this understanding that you look at your kids with delight and adoration. Sometimes they do the wrong thing and you have a moment of being like, how did that work out for you? You guys are going to get to experience this. There's times where you watch your kids do things and you're like, oh, come on, guys. But it doesn't make you love them any less. You just help guide them back into what they were meant to be doing, what aligns with your family values. God looks at you with delight and adoration. He looks at you as fully perfect and fully whole. How do you look at yourself? Do you see yourself as fully whole and fully perfect? Not because of what you have done or can do, but because of what he did. Because he is gracious. And even in our worst moments, he doesn't stop loving us. He loves us through those. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You are God's masterpiece, each and every single one of you. I love it. I was listening to a lady preach, and I'm about to finish up here. She was bringing a word, and I was listening to her online, and I loved what she spoke over the people in that room. She took a whole bunch of what it says in the Bible and she put it into this one thing, and I actually just want to take it and speak over you today. And this is something that I've actually taken these words, and I do this when I'm going into certain situations, and I actually go through this list and I speak it over myself. And sometimes I'll find that there's one that I kind of like almost struggle to say, or I say it but then I find that I just don't quite believe it. And I know that, okay, that's the one I need to focus on this morning. I'm going to pray into that. I'm going to declare that over myself. And so as I read this, if there's one that you kind of hear and you're like, maybe take that away. And I want you to begin to just look into that and go, why do I struggle to say that one or hear that one spoken over me? So I'm going to stand here and I'm going to read them out to you. And I want you to receive this morning. Because this is who God says you are. This is where you can find these in the Bible as well. You are a child of God. You have peace with God. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. You have access to God's wisdom. You are reconciled with God. You are not condemned by God. I'm going to say that one again. You are not condemned by God. You have Christ's righteousness. You have been justified. You are a Christ ambassador. You are forgiven. You are tenderly loved. You are blameless and beyond reproach. You are chosen by Christ to bear fruit. You are a saint. You can approach God with boldness, freedom, and confidence. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. You are royalty in God's kingdom. You are firmly rooted in Christ. You are chosen by God. You have been bought with a price and you belong to God, yet you are free. You have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. You can be confident in this very thing, that the good work God has started in you, he will be faithful to bring it all the way to completion. You are a citizen of heaven. You are a son or daughter of the King. Through the gift of God's grace, you have victory. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are God's workmanship, and you can do all things through Christ who gives me There we go. How amazing is that? How have you been living? Have you been living in a way that lines up with his truth of who he says you are? That lines up with those words that have been spoken? Or have you been living in a way that maybe is dictated by how you feel or with what you've been told or those lies that the enemy has tried to get you to believe and has been feeding you? Or have you been operating out of a place of fear and insecurity, maybe anxiety and worry, instead of an alignment with who God says you are and has called you to be? It's time for us to break free from that and begin to start walking out in our true identity of who he says we are. And if we can do that, it will change our life. You know, I loved that last song that was playing today because, man, it just spoke so close to us about how God is so close to us. He is our breath. He is drawing us in. He's wanting to draw you in this morning. Can I actually just get everyone to stand? Is that all right? And we're just going to pray to finish off. Lord, we just thank you, Father. Thank you. Lord, we actually just pray against every distraction of the enemy, every scheme to come and to try and deceive and to get us to believe lies about ourselves. I pray that we would be people that would have a mind of Christ, that we would have a transformed mind, that any of those lies that we may have been believing, any of that deception, Father, that would just drop off people right now in the name of Jesus. That you would come and that you would just reveal how you see them, Father. That they would just hear your truth speaking to them, Lord. I pray that they would be able to take a hold of that. I pray that they would be a people that would be able to walk in alignment with who you say they are. That they would walk boldly and uprightly and confidently, Lord. That they would know their God-given authority as they go into places, as they pray, as they begin to declare things out over this region, Father. That they would know who they are in you, Lord. That they would be people who would walk in your wholeness, Lord. That they would walk in freedom and courage and boldness. That they would walk in victory in Jesus' name.